Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. This program, narrated by John Cooper Clarke, traces the fascinating career of larger-than-life Lana Turner. I hope you enjoy the show.
You only gotta see it once. The lipstick rolling across the floor. The camera retracing its path back across the floor to the shoes. Then the slow pan up her legs to reveal Cora Smith or Lana Turner. James M. Cain's novel, The Postman Always Rings Twice, had already been made into a movie twice before, once in French and once in Italian. But it took Tay Garnett's version in 1946 with John Garfield and Lana Turner to really hit home. Lana Turner, or Julia Jean Mildred Frances Turner, was born in a mining town in Idaho in 1921. Her family moved to San Francisco when times got hard, and her father, who liked a good crap game, was murdered for his winnings one night when she was 8 years old. She was raised as a Roman Catholic and hoped to become a nun when she grew up. Legend has it she was discovered in a drugstore by the publisher of The Hollywood Reporter, William R. Wilkerson. He approached her mother for permission to introduce her to Zeppo Marx, the Marx brother who had become a successful Hollywood agent. Zeppo introduced her to Mervyn LeRoy, the Marx brothers' mentor, and she was signed to Warner Brothers at the age of 16 in 1937. Her first film part was as a murder victim in LeRoy's They Won't Forget, and she was nicknamed the Sweater Girl after the figure-hugging costume she wore. Here's Morton Gould's arrangement of I Wish I Was in Dixie's Land, which is used extensively in the movie.
Thank you.
Nirvana had a couple of other bit parts that year, but when LeRoy moved to MGM, he took her with him. She played opposite Mickey Rooney in Love Finds Andy Hardy in 1938, and her appearance in this persuaded Louis B. Mayer that she could be the new Jean Harlow. Mayer put her in a few youth-oriented films, and by the time the war broke out, she was an established sex symbol, something she was always unhappy about. She dated many men in Hollywood, but had this to say later. "Sex was never important to me. I'm sorry if that disappoints you, but it's true. Romance, yes, romance was very important, but I never liked being rushed into bed, and I never allowed it. I'd put it off as long as I could and gave in only when I was in love or thought I was. It was always the courtship, the cuddles and the closeness that I cared about, never the act of sex itself, with some exceptions, of course." Here's Artie Shaw and his orchestra playing Nightmare from Every Other Inch a Lady, which Lana made in 1939. She went out on a date with Artie Shaw, who was dating Judy Garland at the time. They eloped that night to Las Vegas and got married. He became the first of seven husbands for her, and she commented, "I planned on having one husband and seven children, but it turned out the other way around." The marriage to Artie Shaw didn't last long, just 7 months, but she was busy throughout 1941 making Ziegfeld Girl with Hedy Lamarr, James Stewart and Judy Garland, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with Spencer Tracy and Ingrid Bergman, Honky Tonk with Clark Gable, and finally the noirish Johnny Eager with Robert Saylor and Van Heflin. This is Benny Goodman's version of My Melancholy Baby, featured in the aforereferenced Johnny Eager. Mm-hmm. In 1942, she married Stephen Crane, an actor and restaurateur, again in Las Vegas. But the union was annulled after 7 months when she discovered he hadn't properly divorced his first wife. They remarried soon after, and a daughter, Cheryl, was born in 1943. But in mid-44, they divorced again, this time for keeps. She began an affair with Howard Hughes and then became romantically involved with Tyrone Power, who she later claimed was the love of her life. Lana made several films in 44 and 45, Marriage is a Private Affair, Keep Your Powder Dry, and Weekend at the Waldorf. Here's Guadalajara by Xavier Cugat and his orchestra from Weekend at the Waldorf. In 1946 came The Postman Always Rings Twice, a superb film noir in which she starred opposite John Garfield. It had taken 12 years of treatments and scripts to turn this steamy novel into a film that could get a certificate from the PCA, the Production Code Administration. Author James M. Cain thought Lana Turner was the perfect choice for the role of Cora Smith, the bored housewife of the gas station owner, Nick, played by Cecil Kellaway, who hires Frank Chambers, John Garfield, the drifter, Hume Cronin, and a great supporting role as the attorney who represents Cora and Frank. It was Lana's favourite role of her career and proved to all doubters that she wasn't just a pretty face. Here's the wonderful opening credits music written by George Bassman.
Thank you.
The movie was a huge box office success and led to her being cast as an accomplished actress. She replaced Katharine Hepburn in Green Dolphin Street opposite Van Heflin in 1947 and was cast in Cass Timberline the same year, for which Jennifer Jones, Vivian Leigh and Virginia Grey were also considered. Here's Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra playing the theme from Green Dolphin Street. It was a busy time for her, and she made Homecoming with Clark Gable the same year. Their on-screen chemistry was evident, and they were nicknamed the team that generates steam. It was the third of four films she made with Gable, and was the high point of her career. She became MGM's most popular star. In 1948, she married her third husband, Henry Bob Topping Jr., the grandson of a tin plate magnate. Topping proposed to her by dropping a diamond ring in her martini at the 21 Club in Los Angeles. They had a lavish wedding in Greenwich, Connecticut, only 3 days after the divorce from his previous wife. Topping lost his fortune through bad investments and heavy gambling, but their marriage lasted over 4 years and was the longest she had. She made The Three Musketeers in Technicolor in 1948, but it was 3 years before she got her next picture, A Life of Her Own. It was a plagued production that failed at the box office, and as a result, MGM put Lana in some musicals to garner praise. Then in 1952 came The Bad and the Beautiful with Kirk Douglas, Walter Pidgeon and Dick Powell. It was a cynical look at Hollywood and won 5 Oscars. Here's David Raxin's theme played by Percy Faith.
¶¶
Kirk Douglas played down his aggression for his role, on direction from Vincent Minnelli. As a result, got a Best Actor nomination, losing out to Bogart for The African Queen. Gloria Graham won Best Supporting Actress for her 9-minute role. That same year, Lana divorced Topping, and the following year married actor Lex Barker. A string of forgettable movies followed, some musicals, some dramas, together with Betrayed in 1954, her last picture with Clark Gable, also starring Victor Mature. In 1955, she teamed up with Richard Burton for The Reigns of Ranchi Poor. Here's the main theme written by Hugo Friedhofer. In 1957 came Peyton Place, a hugely successful film from the best-selling novel by Grace Matalius. It gained 9 Oscar nominations without a single win. This is Franz Waxman's theme. The same year, Lana discovered that her husband, Barker, had raped her daughter, Cheryl, and forced him to leave the house at gunpoint. She began an affair with Johnny Stompanato, who was linked to the LA underworld. She tried to break it off several times, but they continued amid violent quarrels. She was filming Another Time, Another Place with Sean Connery in the UK when Stompanato flew in to visit her. Their quarrelling soon resurfaced, and after being banned from the set, Stompanato turned up to threaten both Turner and Connery with a gun. Connery disarmed him and the police put him on a plane back to the States. In April of the following year, Stompanato threatened to kill Lana in a heated argument, and Cheryl stabbed him to death with a kitchen knife. At the trial, both were acquitted and a verdict of justifiable homicide was reached. The media were not kind to Lana, questioning her testimony. She battled alcoholism but continued acting. In 1959 came Imitation of Life, in which she probably gave the performance of her career, about an aspiring actress with a daughter. It was a great success, but by the 60s, fewer roles were offered with the rise of younger stars. Here's the title song from Imitation of Life, sung by Earl Grant.
What is love without forgiving? Without love, you're only living an imitation of life. Skies above in flaming color. Without love, there's so much duller. A false creation, an imitation of life. Would the song of the lark sound half as sweet? Would the moon be as bright above? Every day would be gray and incomplete without the one you love. Lips that kiss can tell you clearly, without this, our lives are merely an imitation of life.
Lana continued to work throughout the 60s, notably in Portrait in Black with Anthony Quinn, followed by Madame X in 1966 with John Forsythe. In 1964, she had to live through a dramatisation of the Stompanato affair called Where Love Has Gone by Edward Dmytryk, based on a tacky Harold Robbins novel. She dipped into TV work in the 70s and 80s, and in Falcon Crest, she played the beautiful Jacqueline Perrault. In 1992, she was diagnosed with throat cancer, having been a lifelong smoker, and had radiation therapy. Sadly, the cancer returned in 1994, and she died in Century City, Los Angeles, in 1995. She'd had three more marriages in the 60s, none of which lasted that long, but she remained very close to her daughter, Cheryl. Lana Turner was one of the most glamorous movie stars of all time, and her turbulent personal life was closely intertwined with her career, some saying that they mirrored one another. I'll leave you with Jack Jones singing Where Love Has Gone by Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen.
There must be a place where love has gone, a bright, shiny world, somewhere where love has gone, where dreams and desires as cold as yesterday's fires start to blaze anew. There must be a star gleaming in space that doesn't grow dim with each last embrace. They say love's gone when it goes, and I'm naive, I suppose. There may not be such a place, there may not be such a star, but still my fool of a heart just leads me on. It wants to be there, there with you, where love has gone to that bright and shining. Where love has gone.